for them time.
Once again, Jamaicans are listening, watching YouTube. YouTube is hands down the biggest streaming platform in the world and also the biggest streaming platform right here in Jamaica.
World Music Views is a media entity. It's a trade publication that documents what's happening in music.
Walchi, Walchi, Walchi. This man is part of some of the biggest records ever made in reggae music, in dancehall music, but also in global music. And we're going to talk to him about everything from his incoming to process now to the future. Big up yourself, Walchi. Welcome to World Music Views Urban Caribbean Music Podcast. This is the first time we're talking like this.
Yes, it is.
I appreciate you coming on. You know, I have a lot of things I want to talk to you about. First of all, you okay? Everything good with you?
Yeah, man. Blessed, man. So
all the times treating you. All the times I treat you.
So blessed, bro. So blessed.
Nice, man. Nice, nice, nice. Mm-hmm. How did you start in the business?
From college. From college, went straight to interning at a radio station. And then went to doing some stuff at clubs after that. And that was it.
Yeah. College in Jamaica or abroad?
Yeah, man. In abroad. Turn it down. Mute it. Clark Atlanta University. And then FAMU University for grad school.
So you studied music in college?
No. Marketing in undergrad and then journalism. Well, I guess you could say it was music, but journalism for my master's degree, and that was focused on radio. So being a radio presenter or working behind the scenes in radio, they don't really teach you how to be a radio host. But I ended up doing that when I moved back to Miami after grad school, being a radio host. So that's how I got into music, was starting on the radio.
So in an industry where probably 70% of the practitioners, some of them don't even finish high school, but just have high school education. How did you find that relationship between your master's education and entering an industry like this?
Yeah, I don't really think it mattered. I don't really think my college degrees mattered. Maybe it's just this industry. Maybe it's all industries, but I don't think college actually matters anymore. I think college is a outdated system that most people probably don't have to participate in anymore. If you know what you want to do, you can probably go and learn exactly that skill. College seems to be a place where people who do not know what they want to be in life go and waste their time and money. Once you know what you want to do, you can go directly to get certification for that. There's a school for everything. Or you can literally just watch online YouTube video and learn the craft, make your own business, and don't have to deal with anybody. So in my opinion, no, that wouldn't have affected me at all. My degree was more something that my mom was pressuring me to do as I was the first to go to college. And I did that for her. But it definitely was a waste of time and a waste of money. Outside of that, it was a great networking. It was a great experience. But it was a great experience because I traveled. I didn't live in the Jamaica bubble or in the Miami bubble. I was able to go far out those bubbles. And so in my opinion, if somebody were to take anything away from what I'm saying, it's don't go to college. Travel instead. You'll learn way more by traveling. Just travel the world. You'll learn 100 million times more. If you're in a I don't know what I want to do phase, college is not going to fix that. College is not going to show you, hey, you should do this. What they're going to do is you're going to get there the first day, and then they're going to say, okay, what do you want to do? You're going to say, I don't know. They're going to say, all right, well, you know what you should do? Business. And then you start on business. And then halfway through, you say, yo, I don't want to do business. Then you just waste the first 2 years. And then you have to go start back over. It's like a big scam, you know? So I would encourage anybody, don't go to college, travel the world. Spend that money doing that. You'll learn way more.
And I take it that you've traveled the world and made that part of your process for making music. Tell me about that process for making music. How do you make music?
There's no process. You just make it. Just like a boxer. You just get up in the morning, you train, and then you go fight. You just do it. There's no process.
And are you feeling, and I asked Beedeman this recently, when you go in the studio, do you know for sure you're going to make a hit?
No, never. You try.
You just make it do what it do.
Yeah, man, just go with the energy and just, you know, see how you feel after.
How did Major Lazer start?
Couple of years before me, Holy Patins Iguan, and then I joined, and I've been with it for 9 years.
So did you know Diplo before? Did you know before?
Yeah, Diplo.
And then you guys just got together and started making music.
Mm-hmm.
And what's it like working together? How do you, nice. Are you from a similar culture? Like how does that culture?
Yeah, Florida culture. We both, because he grew up in Florida. I mean, grew up in Florida. So that's the similarity there.
What was the first hit song you made together?
Oh, I don't remember. But I will say my first solo hit song was Bend Down Pause, Marshall Montano, Runtown, and Wizkid. That was my first hit song. That was my first hit song.
What year was that?
I feel like 2015 or 14 or something. So.
Was this before the Chronics link up or after?
This would have been after, but the only thing I did with Chronics was the mixtape. We never put out a song.
But that was a phenomenal mixtape. That's how I knew Chronics. You know, it was almost as if it was you who brought, you know, when you're working with an artist A&R-ing him, that mixtape was like a good demo tape to put out. How did you link up with Chronics? Like from Miami, Chronics live a Spanish town. How you link up with Chronics like that?
I mean, remember, I said Miami is just Kingston 14, you know. So it's not like, yo, how? You know, I remember I said, we're there. Even when you don't know, so we're there. But yeah, I forget to give big ups to Ezra. Ezra was the one that really said, yo, there's a youth. And him start playing music. And I said, yeah, man, I'd love to meet him. And then we met him up at J. Will's office, and we just talked for hours, played music and talked for hours. And then we'll say, yeah, man, you know, we should do a mixtape. And that's just how it happened.
And you still work with Chronics since then, or that was just a one-off project?
Yeah, I haven't worked with them in a while, but definitely still keep in contact. But no, man, we've done, I put them on a Major Lazer song after that. I think we have like one or two demos. But yeah, it's been a while. It's been a few years since we lived up.
What would you call your kind of music? Is it dancehall? Is it pop? Like, what do you call it?
We don't do that. We don't have a name for it, man. We just make it go. People them like it, people them don't like it. You know? I think the streets, the artists, they're the ones that should name things. I don't want to name it. I don't want to be tied up in a name. I just let it go, and whatever people want to call it, that's what they call it. I'm absolutely fine with it.
So, as somebody that's working with a lot of Caribbean artists, do you think Caribbean music gets validated? All the genres practice here. Do you think it gets validated here, and do you think it gets validated internationally?
What do you mean by validated?
Whatever it contributes to world music and, mm-hmm. and cultures, do you think it gets its just due, artist for artist, but as an industry, if a Jamaican artist does the same thing that a New York artist does, do you think they get the attention, the numbers, the same look, the same, you know?
So I don't like doing those kind of comparisons. Because they're not necessary. I don't really care what other people are doing. I don't really care to compare it to what Jamaica's doing, nor do I really care to compare it to what I'm doing. I'm just really focused on what I'm doing. And I really, really love what I'm doing. And I feel really good about what I'm doing. And I don't worry about what other people are doing. I don't worry about if other people are validating it. Who cares if people are validating it? See, all these things are speed bumps. All these things are little hang-ups where you start like, yo, are they validating? Or you start like, you know, you start focus on things and you stop making music. And that's not going to, I'm not going to allow that to happen. I've seen a lot of people fall way off because they're worried about what people think or things, you know, that don't have anything to do with making good music. No, I just want to make good music. That's it.
So two questions to follow up on that. What are your thoughts on the Grammys? And do you want a Grammy?
Well, I don't know if Grammys. Okay, I was going to say, yeah, more Grammys. I appreciate the Grammy that I've won. But I also understand that this is a made-up system where people who built the system basically give themselves awards. That's why you don't see independent artists really on these things. It's not made for the independent artist to win. It's not designed for a person who actually has a great song to win. That's not what it's for. It's for the people who have spent decades pouring money into the music industry to get a trophy. You know, all of the big major record labels. And so knowing that, you appreciate winning one, but you also understand it really doesn't mean anything. It's really what you make it mean, you know? So to people who, you know, to the underdog or to people from third world countries or to Black people, this, you know, award, it's everything, you know, because it kind of says, yo, man, this is the truth. It really does say, yo, the white music industry has accepted me. You could be the biggest artist in the Black world, but for some reason, that's when you start to really like be like, wow, the white world has accepted me. And we need to really analyze that. We need to really check the depths and levels of that psychology and see if we can break it up. There's no reason why we should be holding this thing to such high regard. It doesn't really do anything for our community. There's not much you can really say on the give back, you know? And so it's just like just think of it like the NBA, right? Or American football, the NFL, you know? Those two systems are just starting to slightly get broke up. And they've been the same for decades. They've been the same. It's like a pyramid. You have all these people at the top making money. And we're at the bottom. All these African-Americans who give their body and their heart and, you know, and everything for what they consider acceptance into this system. And this system pays them very little and every now and then gives them an award. And actually, because it's almost all Black now, it gives them lots of awards. But, you know, if you see one of them get paid, you know, $30 million, we're like, wow. And we don't realize, yo, the man, not even the man at the top, the man them right above the man that I get billions. You know, so imagine what the man at the top is getting. And so, you know, the Grammy has the same kind of like thing where it's an old boys club and we have no problem winning them. But we want to make sure that we have something of our own that we get excited about more than that. Because we have some things, I guess, that, you know, I'll definitely get excited about anything that's given me an award. I love the fact that someone has recognized me for work. I truly appreciate it. But I would love to see everybody gets more excited. I would actually love to see white people go, wow, I got the award
most in the black Jamaica.
Yeah, I got the award in Jamaica. Yeah, like, wow. You know, I got the award in Jamaica. So, you know, we need to really evaluate these mental constructs that hold these old systems above our head and make us feel so excited to participate, when in actuality, it's not really doing a lot for not just me as an individual, because sure, it'll do tons for me as an individual, but won't do as much as I'd like it to do for our whole community. So having our own and holding our own to that same high regard would be the ultimate goal.
One of the things in the music industry that I know does a lot for the industry is owning the masters. One, do you own your masters? And two, do you think more artists should own their masters?
Well, of course I own my masters, and definitely artists should own their masters. You have to think long-term, you have to think longevity. You have to think about your kids and your grandkids. Why wouldn't? The question actually doesn't make sense, because why wouldn't somebody be trying to do that in this day and age? If we were like 10 years ago, I totally get it. People would be a little confused. But owning your masters, co-owning your masters, let's say co-owning, because you'd have a producer, an artist, everybody co-own. Yeah, there's no other way. That doesn't mean that you don't license your masters for a few years. Yeah, man, do that too. Why not? You'll get it back. And that doesn't mean you don't license your master for a few things. Yeah, for sure. But no, ultimately, everyone should own their own masters.
Hypnosis is actually buying up people's publishing and rights to their music. They bought Shakira's publishing. I know you know about Hypnosis.
Yeah, every publishing company is doing it. Every single publishing company, and there's new publishing companies coming up every day with investors that have millions of dollars that are just buying artists' catalogs.
Would you sell yours?
Sure.
I'm asking you this question because most of the young artists, which is this demographic that you're talking to now, they just want a hit. You know, they just want the popularity of it all, and they don't understand the business of what you're saying. So it might be second nature to you, but I know 90% of them, especially in Jamaica, don't own their masters, don't want to own it, don't even know how to go about
it. No, they want to. They want to. If they don't, then I don't know how that kind of a conversation wouldn't come up. But I would say, since you do bring up the Jamaican artists, I do believe that they have not had help giving them right leadership on the business side. I do agree with that. I do agree that there is a lack of mentorship and advice. Every artist should go through a program. You know, Jamaica's entertainment sector, it wouldn't cost much to say, actually, they might even make money. I say, you're every artist, take this one class and you learn everything you need to learn about the industry. It might actually make money. People might be like, yeah, I'm taking that class. I absolutely agree with that. And I do believe that, yeah, man, if anybody here is in one of those situations where they're an artist, they're young, but they don't know how to deal with the publishing and all of them, something there. Again, also, there's two sides to this. There's one of, yeah, man, need help. And then there's the other side that goes, actually, they can get that help on their own. All this information is accessible. All this information is on YouTube. All this information is on online courses. You can actually learn.
Remember, we're talking about guys that are coming in the industry that don't even finish high school.
Yeah, man, all of that's all BS excuses. So what am I going to do? No, die? Dead? You know, they're not going to know if make themselves, a person in the industry that can protect themselves. Get out of here with that. I don't care if you can't read. There's no excuse for not having YouTube and a person to help you and figuring it out. Yo, this is like weak man talk, yo. And yo, I realize lots of the times we get into this like pampering and powdering and that kind of something there, you know? You see from your, you know, it's like when you see somebody and you don't know their story, but you see that they're an able-bodied person and they just don't want to do anything. Mm-hmm. And they just want somebody to get in. Mm-hmm. No, that's not how life works. You know what I'm saying? So every artist should understand that if they're a serious artist, they're serious about this. They have to do their due diligence. Nobody's not handing you manual. Like I said before, that I do believe that there should be a place that they can pay and learn and get a step-by-step walkthrough. But I just, as I said it, I just remembered, I was like, that's on YouTube for free. You know, maybe there's a, since it's Jamaica, maybe there's a different system that they should be aware of on how to collect revenue and royalties and how to get syncs and
same system.
It's the same system. So, all right, boom. Mm-hmm. So if it's the same system, it's up on YouTube. Is it me? So, you know,
I've heard
just because you only graduated halfway through primary doesn't mean you that's your excuse for not understanding your business. But this is now your business. So there's no excuses for that.
I've heard artists, big artists, tell me that they don't want to get involved in the business of the music.
And they shouldn't have to. It is
the quotation is me just want to make music.
Yeah. All right. So that's an actual honest thing that I believe everyone should want. They should want to focus on their creativity and have somebody helping them on the business side. The reality is, if you're a young artist, usually you don't have a team. You're not reaching away yet, you know? And not having a team and then being like, boy, I'm going to want to deal with the business, but I just want to deal with the creative part, means you're going to be upset about some decisions that you made down the road. Learn the business, guys. Stop it. Your creativity will have to take a hit. Your creativity will have to suffer for sure, because you'll have to learn the business and balance that with creativity. But not knowing the business is at your own detriment. It is your own grave you're digging when you expect other people to explain your money and how it was made to you. Just put a bullet in a gun. It's the same thing. You wouldn't work any other industry and not know how your money was coming to you. You would not work as a mechanic and not know, say, yo, when I fix this muffler, I get money in my hand. You would know that. You would know how much the muffler costs. You would source it. You would say, all right, okay, I get the muffler cheap. Okay, I'm put this amount of money upon getting the muffler. And then I can put this money on top for the hours where we work to fix it. And this is what the cost that would be. You can figure that part out. You can sense. You don't have to learn how to read to figure that part out. So why would it be any different in music? You know? Yo, you know, say, this conversation is a good one. Because full-time now, we start really like get wicked now, you know? Wow. This excuses stuff is like, it's outdated.
Nah, I like it. I like that. You talk just like me, you know? That's mm-hmm. how I talk.
Yeah, man, it's outdated, you know? And we need to make sure everybody we're in at this know, say, yo, either you're serious and you're in, or you're not serious. And that's fine as well. But don't take up the space with the people and we're serious, you know? Because all you're going to do is hold everyone else down with these questions that you can go research yourself. You can type in the question on Google and the answer will appear. And you can make somebody else figure it out for you, sit down with them. And, you know, that's another thing is that artists don't collaborate. Imagine if I was a mechanic and you were a mechanic. I'm sorry. Imagine if I wanted to be a mechanic and you wanted to be a mechanic. Is it not better that you and I go half and half mm-hmm. on buying a car, on learning it? Instead of me buy the car by myself?
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't it be better if artists collaborated, if artists got together and said, listen, I don't know what's happening. And you don't know what I want. Make a group up. Each one will teach each one. When me learn something, but drop it in at a group chat. Yo, I bet you right now, there's not many artists that have group chats with other artists.
Unless
they're signed to them. Like one artist might have like three artists where I'm signed, and that's the group chat, mm-hmm. you know? But it wouldn't be like the three artists that he signed, they have their group chat alone without the man at the top, you know? They wouldn't have their own group chat. And that's a shame, you know? You got to have communication and collaboration. Everyone needs to
validation communicate. Thing the mm-hmm. artists keep wanting to be validated. Now, mm-hmm. on a marketing level, you said you did marketing in school, right? So other than the master ownership, mm-hmm. the top five albums nominated for the Grammys, together, mm-hmm. they probably never sell 50,000 records, right? Mm-hmm. Reggae dancehall is not being sold compared to other genres. The top albums released last year, together, they stream in the millions, which means that people are consuming the music, but mm-hmm. they're not going in their pockets and buying albums mm-hmm. or buying singles, right? Except mm-hmm. Sean Paul and Omi, who are doing good numbers. And you, who you say you're not titling your music. You're a titleless music. So why you think reggae dancehall is not selling?
I don't know. I mean, there's probably a million reasons for that. There's probably people that analyze that data and have an answer for you. I'm not one of those people. I don't analyze the music to that degree. I really just focus on what I'm doing. And I just do it to the best of my ability, you know? And big up to everybody in the reggae world who, if the numbers are low, as you said, I would have to think that the numbers would be low in every musical genre or lower. And that maybe reggae and dancehall is so niche that you see it more than hip hop and more than some of the other genres. But I would have to just assume the amount of people buying an album in hip hop is way lower than it used to be. So maybe that's just a music wide thing and you just see it more because you're hitting this. But
let me give you some context because I see everything because mm-hmm. I do world music views where I do mm-hmm. a chart show every Friday here in Jamaica and the Caribbean where mm-hmm. I curate music in Canada, how it's consumed in the UK, Dubai, the US, and genre by genre and the Caribbean. Dancehall reggae music make up less than 1% of global streams last year. Definitely in the US too, but global streams, which means it actually comes on the other. So, you know, they have pop and hip hop stream. Hip hop is up there with pop and they have the other genres. Dancehall reggae is less than 1%. That to me didn't calculate the Justin Biebers or the other influences in pop that do dancehall infused music. So it must be a criteria of what's happening here.
Yeah, so, but let me ask you this though. The spending power of the people who like hip hop is just so much bigger than the people in the Caribbean. You can't get, you know, extra spending cash to buy someone's album. I think you just see that. It's just a comparison that it just, to me, it's like comparing America to Jamaica in a sense that like the things that America can do, Jamaica just can't do, you know, and in a way, vice versa, you know, the things that Jamaica do, America just can't do. So when you start to look at numbers, I think maybe the best thing to do is to not compare it, because the comparison, even though you say something like it's 1%, that number seems low enough to talk about why that's happening, but not low enough that I would compare it to something that's, you know, 50% of the market share. Like that alone, 1%, 50%, I'd be like, okay, no, they're uncomparable. But definitely a discussion on why 1% is a good one. You know, it's definitely a good one. I mean, there's so many factors as to why numbers could be low for sales. But again, I don't do that. I don't do that. That's not what I do.
All right, let's talk about coffee. How you got to coffee? How you got to work with her, develop that song? What was your contribution to her career and the song Post?
Yeah, man, so big up Kanisha Palmer, legend in the business. He literally picked her up and brought her to my house and was like, yo, this is who I'm working with. And, you know, I can't stop saying his name, though. Kanisha Palmer, 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 Palmer. That guy right there, I'm going to tell you, say, yo, that man there, he has a true eye for talent and he has a true love for the music. And why you make me feel like I need to text him or call him right now in the car? Matter of fact, before me forget, I was texting him right now and say, yo, see that brother there, man?
I don't advise, I've been advised.
So that brother there. Yo, trust me. Him is a legend with enough people. Now I don't know.
I've never heard his name before, no.
Exactly. Let me get back to you now. Yeah, no. Yo, him is a legend with people just now I don't know.
Yeah.
If I tell you no lie, he brought coffee to my house. He brought Apollo to my house. And then bring Jazalise to my house. Those are the three people that he literally drove. Pick them up and drive them up and say, yo, this artist. But yeah, working with Coffee was awesome, with great energy. I'm honored that I executive produced that album and I feel just great about what happened. So yeah, man.
I remember seeing you celebrating the Grammy win and I was batting for her and all the commentary I gave leading up to the Grammys because I knew that her being also part of a record label would help with the Grammys because the Grammys.
No, it's what helped. Like, that's what I'm saying to you. It's like, it's a old boys club. If you are not a part of the system, you have a hard chance being nominated. It's just impossible because these guys, imagine a golf club and there's people who pay their fees every year. And they get first dibs. And if a little space whoop them up, then yeah, maybe you can go play golf. Yeah, maybe you can go up there. Maybe you can pay for the day rate, and go play golf. But you see, if everybody decides that who pay their membership decides that they want to play golf, you can't play golf that day. That's really how it works. And so, yes, and I'm glad that she did do that because it gave her the exposure and the network that her music deserved.
Who are you listening to now?
Paul Salou.
Paul Salou.
Yeah.
I'm going to insert it here.
P-A-S-A-L-I-E-U. My Family.
My Family.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I found them a song right now. I hope you weren't asking me for a dancehall or a reggae song.
Nah, it doesn't matter. This is World Music Views. Right. One thing we produce are world-class athletes and world-class musicians, more than any other profession coming out of Jamaica and the Caribbean. That's what we produce, pound for pound. Mm-hmm. Now, you are an educated person. You still do music. If you weren't doing music, what would you be doing?
Architecture.
You find similarities with both? That's a good one.
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. I find that the way that I approach music is very mathematical. And it's very design based. And I look at the materials of a building, or I look at the landscape of a piece of land and what could possibly be built on that land. And that's how I approach music. I don't want to look at a piece of land and then be like, well, this, whatever. I look at every piece of land as an opportunity to make something amazing. Mm. You know, you have some land where people then walk away from, you know, sometimes you see a burnt house, you know, and people drive past the burnt house every day and say, yo, boy, I don't want nothing to do with that burnt up house. And I look at that burnt up house and I go, man, I wish I could buy that house. Because I would love to fix that house up and build something beautiful. And so I've been like that my whole life. I've looked at, I would ride my bicycle around neighborhoods in Miami that were nowhere near my neighborhood, but I would ride maybe 2 hours to a neighborhood with beautiful houses and just ride around and look at them. I used to do it every single weekend. Every single weekend. I would ride to Coral Gables. I'd ride to South Beach. I'd ride to some places up in Broward where you just see some house and you just think, I can't believe a person lives in that. Or I can't believe someone designed something so amazing, so beautiful. Somebody's brain made their hands create something amazing. You know, somebody's brain said, yo, get the cement, get the wood, stain the wood this color, paint the wall this color, and made something just so amazing. And you realize that life is a bunch of complicated, you know, math problems made up of simple math problems. And if you can just separate each complicated math problem and break it down with its simplicity, with a simpler math problem, solve those, you end up solving the more complicated ones. And that's really what architecture is. And that's how I approach music, by looking at the land and just knowing that I can design something beautiful musically on this land. So I love working with every artist because I consider every artist a challenge on how we can build something amazing. Right now I'm working with a rapper from the UK named Akala. Mm-hmm. Everyone should look him up. He's also a political speaker, but A-K-A-L-A, everyone should go look him up. But yeah, man, I love working with him because he's a rapper from the UK. And, you know, we're building this thing together. It's come out amazing. So far.
All right, to close, my favorite Major Lazer songs are Powerful with Taurus Riley and
Umaye.
And Someone to Lean On. Okay. Which is yours?
Get Free.
Get Free. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take out this episode of World Music Views, Urban Caribbean Music Podcast with Get Free. Big up.
No. Ask me what's my favorite song I made.
What's your favorite song that you made?
All right, so my favorite song that I've made is a song called I Still Believe with a singer from Namibia in Africa. An amazing voice. I did the production with a guy from England named Jason Julian. And that to me is my favorite song that I've made.
You just switched the mood from someone to... Big up yourself. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate you. I learned a lot today, and I'm sure the guests, listeners will learn a lot also. Thank you so much. All right.
Respect, Dada.
Big up.
All right. Yeah, man, cool.